It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I don't need to record anything, do I?
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, AC Newman of the New Pornographers. We're going to be talking about their latest album, Continue as a Guest. AC's going to, we're going to talk about him still being surprised to be a working musician. Having Belle and Sebastian and Neutral Milk Hotel as early influences and what that meant towards the songwriting, and the pros of really not being tied to any specific decade or era. AC's also going to dive into the stories behind some of the new songs. We'll debate whether it's good or not to reference pop culture in lyrics. And we're both going to show some love for the sound of a saxophone as well. It's all that and more. We're talking Continue as a Guest, Kyle Meredith, with AC Newman of the New Pornographers.
Hey, how are you?
It's hard to compliment because I feel like I would say the same thing about every record that you've ever put out. I'm such a fan. I love what you've done again. What is it? What do you say? Congratulations?
I guess. Thank you. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. But yes, congratulations. It's hard to make a record. I think anybody that makes anything needs to be congratulated.
Well, I was thinking about that this morning because not really in relation to this, but the idea of making something, making music and putting it out into the world. Like I tried my hand at songwriting 20 years ago when I was still, you know, young man, high school, college and all that stuff. And I kept coming back to like, you know what? This idea I had, somebody's already done it better. I can't do this. And if you can find a way to put that out, like that's huge. Like, I don't know what that looks like every single time going into a record, but what does that hill look like for you?
You know, I don't know how I did it, you know, because I didn't pick up an instrument until I was 18. Nobody in my family, like I didn't come from a musical family. I mean, my family liked music. There was music around. I think I just decided, you know, I loved music and I started playing guitar. But I remember there felt like a line when I first started playing music, when I first played in a band, I thought, do I dare cross that line from audience member to person on stage? Like it felt like a huge step, you know, and then I think I was lucky in that the first show I ever played was a ton of fun. it was filled with like a lot of supportive friends. Like it went over well. Like I feel like if I'd gone on stage and bombed, that might have been the end of it. You know, like that might have been like, no, I don't want to ever do that again. That makes me feel sad. But I think I had enough of a high from it that I thought, I like doing this. And even then, I wasn't really taking songwriting seriously. Like I just thought like it was a fun thing to do, to just get up and play some riffs and yell. But I feel like it was just something I wanted to learn to do. I think I was just drawn to it. And I mean, I look at everything I've done and I feel like it so much of it just feels like a learning process, you know? I feel like I was just trying to figure out how to make music that was like the music that I liked, you know? Like I like anybody, you know? Like I remember in the late 90s hearing the song Son of My Father by Giorgio Moroder, and thinking, let's do that. You know, like let's figure out how to sound like that. And I think that was, you know, I think that was a big influence. You know, it's like nobody, also part of it is made, it all starts from being a fan, especially from somebody who didn't pick up an instrument till later. I was always a huge fan, and I feel like I've always approached music as a fan. So I'm always, and I think I've had pretty good taste in music. You know, I think I've always been really, you know, I've taken music seriously and loved what I loved. And so I think when I started making music, I think I was trying to take from a lot of people that I thought were really cool. Like I was trying to take from early Eno and Sparks and ELO and Stranglers and Blondie and The Cars, just music that I really liked. And or even to be more current, I think when we started out, I was really into Belle and Sebastian and Neutral Milk Hotel, and I thought, we don't really sound like them, but I feel like I took a few things from them, which, and one of them was that your songs don't have to be overly complicated. You know, you listen to the best Belle and Sebastian or Neutral Milk Hotel, and sometimes they're just three chord songs. And I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe don't be afraid to be that. So I think with the New Pornographers, I was just trying to, I thought it was dumbing it down. Even though I don't think our music sounds dumb, to me, I thought I was trying to dumb down what I do and just make it a little bit more. But yeah, here, whatever it is, 20, 25 years later, it all still feels like a mystery to me. Like I still go into my studio and try and work on new songs and ask myself, how do you do this? You know, like it feels like every song feels like learning a new craft. You know, like how do I do this? I wish I had a formula.
Even the greatest songwriters will tell you that like, I got to talk to Paul McCartney once and he has no formula. It's not there, you know, and we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with AC Newman of the New Pornographers. I follow you online, and you do. You talk about some great artists all the time. A lot of them I know. Some of them, you know, I get fortunate enough that you turn me on to something that I missed. And the more and more I think about the bands that you put out there to talk about, the bands that you're talking about here as your influences, and to come up like nobody sounds like the New Pornographers, and the New Pornographers don't sound like anybody else somehow. You know, it's like, and maybe that's different when you're the songwriter, that you can pinpoint in each song, like, oh yeah, I was definitely thinking about that band or ripping that band off or copying or whatever, you know, maybe you can hear that, but whatever you've done and the soup that you make with all the other collaborators that you have, it comes out completely its own thing. Not every band can say that. That's a hard thing to do. Somehow it worked with you.
It's funny. I don't feel that way about us. And I think it's because I'm inside of it, you know, like I listen to Spoon and The National and I think, oh, they sound, you know, like I think they sound like themselves. They sound so wholly like themselves. And I listen to us and I think, I don't know, what do we, you know, what do we sound like? Like I'm inside of it. So I can't tell. And also there is the part of me that loves like the White Album that grew up. And so there's a part of me that doesn't want to make a really focused record. Like I want to make music that's kind of all over the place in that same way. So I've always thought we were a little all over the place, but I mean, I can only trust what you say. I mean, I'm glad it all sounds like us.
The very first line, even on this record, I am blurry on this here particular scene. I'm taking that out of context, but somehow that feels very much of what we're talking about right here.
Yeah, I think it is. Wait, what's the next line?
Well, I didn't write that one down, unfortunately.
Oh, right, yeah. I am blurry on this here particular scene.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'll just go ahead and throw that direct, you know, for that to be the opening line of the album. I mean, do you do that, you know, specifically to set up the journey? Is it that precise for you?
No. I think that's kind of accidental. I'm glad it works. Like I might have thought that during the sequencing of the record or during the making of the record, but there are a lot of ideas that I just forget about immediately. Like if something works, I go, great, that works. And then I move on to what doesn't work. So I'm not usually patting myself on the back for very long. So it's nice to go back to the record and go, oh, right, that's a great line. You know, because once I wrote it and once I sang it, I just stopped thinking about it. I mean, because there are terrible lines that need to be fixed, you know.
You can't concentrate on the good ones. You just gotta. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Sure. That makes sense. You don't concentrate on the three tires that are working well. You concentrate on the flat one. That's
exactly. Exactly.
Well, hearing, you know, a little bit what you have spoken about on this record, you know, it was written at a time where a lot of the artists, obviously, that I'm talking to last year, this year, probably next year, are going to be saying, yeah, you know, it came out of isolation. There does feel like a lot of isolation on this. And you know, it's going to be that era, right? You had the pandemic era, and then you had the era of albums about isolation. I think that's what we're going to, as we look back on that, you know, and start to summarize, you know, what we've been through. When you're, again, when you're inside these songs, when you're inside these albums, are you able to contextualize your catalog in the same way you would the Smiths, in the same way you would ELO, like for eras, I guess is what I'm saying, the zeitgeist?
Yeah, I don't know. You mean what era am I in? I don't know.
Because you got, as you said, 20, 25 years to look back on now. You know what? You know, if you notice the flat tires more than the fully aired ones, how do you look back on a catalog that is as lengthy and varied as your all's? I mean, do you see it in any way in that sort of zeitgeisty way?
I see where we came from. Like, I think we were lucky in that we showed up at the same time as a lot of like-minded bands. And also, we showed up in Canada at the same time as a lot of like-minded Canadian bands. So I feel like the early 2000s was a pretty good time to be an indie rock band, you know? And I think that, and I personally, you know, I was lucky, and that's why I have a house here, you know, because people were using indie rock songs in commercials in 2003, you know? But even then I didn't really feel quite part of anything, you know? Like there was, you know, there were Strokes and the White Stripes. They seemed like the cool kids, and we were just like over in our corner at the same time. Even in Canada, you know, even in Canada, we felt like we were in the wrong spot. Like we weren't in Montreal, you know, we were in Vancouver, where it felt like the scene was our friends, you know, like the scene was the Pornographers and Destroyer and Black Mountain. I also think there's something I think it can be good to be kind of outside a zeitgeist or outside of any scene, because I don't think anybody necessarily connects us with a very specific time and place, you know? Like, I think that can be a curse. If, you know, I think some bands are thought of as the New York band from 2002, and, you know, and then now it's like 21 years later. So, you know, like I always thought Yola Tango has had a great career, and that they've always been like out on their own. Like they were popular, but never a part of any scene. So when you're that band, you can just keep moving. You can keep moving through all the trends. And I think I've always thought that's a good way to be.
It's a good band. It's a good example right there too, because you're right. For all the acclaim they've had in various decades, they're one of the few that I don't associate. I could associate them as much with you as with Flaming Lips in the early 90s or something like that. That's really interesting. Yeah, right.
If they were there. I mean, I saw them open for My Bloody Valentine, you know, like whenever that was. Like, what was that, 1990? I don't even know. When did they break up?
No, that sounds right. That they would have been right around there. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with AC Newman of the New Pornographers. I'll jump in, you know, more specifically into this record too. I'm just like throwing darts here because there's so many great moments. Like that opening riff of Pontius Pilate's Home Movies. It's so good. And that song is so like, you know, again, I'm a fan of the concept of your songs and you know, and the lyrics and everything. Where or when did this concept arrive?
Well, I mean, the music usually comes first, although the bass line came a little later. The bass line, which became very central to the song, showed up a little later. And then I think when I had the chorus, the Pontius Pilate's Home Movies, then I thought, okay, I think I knew what the song was going to be about. I knew that the song was going to be about, basically about social media. Even though I'm hesitant now to even talk about it. You know, it feels like, will a song that's written about social media age badly, or is it just an eternal thing that we have to talk about now? Is social media as eternal as love, you know, or a broken heart at this point? But I realized the song should be, I wanted it to be about just the fractured way we experience life in social media. And I just thought that was a good metaphor, the idea that if Pontius Pilate, you know, had social media, he would have posted the crucifixion, you know, and it would have been split. The vote would have been evenly split on whether or not they should have killed Christ. And so I that went from there.
I mean, that line, by the way, of his audience yelling too soon, that as a lyric, yeah, it might be my favorite moment. I mean, that's the punchline, I feel like, in that moment right there. It's really good.
Yeah, I felt like once I had that, I was just trying to buttress it. And so it was a lot of, I thought the song should have like a lot of kind of, not word salad, but I felt, you know, because social media is so disconnected, that I thought it should be a lot of, it felt like it should be a lot of like little phrase, a lot of little disconnected phrases, all in a row, because that's what social media felt like to me. But a lot of disconnected phrases that all ultimately say the same thing, which is that social media is absolutely fucking with our brains. Yeah, I think my favorite line in that song is, I only like art when it's changing the subject, because it might be true. That one might be true.
You know, being specific about that, you know, being hesitant about talking about it because social media, and it just reminded me though, that like, there are plenty of songs, although I'm trying to remember as many as I can on the spot here, but you know, the references are so specific to the time that you would think they shouldn't still be around, but they are. Mm-hmm. Like Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire comes. I mean, that's so specific. Of course, you're talking about all of history. Or Bare Naked Ladies 1 week, you know, that's another example. Like, those are so specific. And still, like, my son is 14, he's 15, and he knows a lot of the words of that. He doesn't even care, you know, that he doesn't know the reference.
Or I was just in London, and I was walking around, and it was funny how many places I recognized just from rock and roll lyrics.
Right.
You know, it's like we're in St. John's Wood. The Rolling Stones sing about that in Play With Fire. You know, like all these, and you realize that, like, yeah, you can be oddly specific like that, and it doesn't matter. You know, like, and then I don't do that often. But sometimes I think I should do it more, because it's always a fun trick. You know, I'm talking about the internet. It reminded me of, I think there was a Destiny's Child song. I think it was Survivor, where there was a song, Beyonce sings, "I ain't gonna diss you on the internet." And I remember thinking at the time, she mentioned the internet in the lyric. And I don't think anybody had ever done that. And I thought, like, that's a brave move. Like, you're lying. And I thought, is this going to age well? And it did, you know, because the internet has become so eternal. Like, singing about, "I'm not going to diss you on the internet," seems as relatable as "I love you" or "You broke my heart."
Isn't that scary?
Yes.
I mean, and there's for to be, you know, balanced here. I almost said fair and balanced, and I didn't want to go there. you know, there's probably plenty of those moments where it didn't work. I was thinking, like, cheesy songs are coming to my brain now. Like, what was it? "She Likes Me for Me," "Blessed Union of Souls," because they mentioned DVDs, and like, there are those moments that... like that didn't, that, I mean, that song might not have stuck around anyway, but specifically there are those lines, like, they don't always work though, but it's
funny how some of them, yeah, like if you mention CDs or DVD, or DVDs are acceptable, CDs not so much, but yet there's in Big Mouth Strikes Again, where he sings about, like, her Walkman started to melt. That's brilliant, and it makes it better, you know, like, knowing that the Walkman is the thing that, right, you know, only somebody from the 80s would remember, like, makes it better. It doesn't make it feel outdated. So I guess it's, you have to judge them by a case-by-case basis, I guess.
The mood of the title track, I thought I'd bring up too, because it feels like it's really simple, the title track, talking about continue as a guest, but it just keeps pushing and pushing without, I don't know, a complete resolve at the end. You know, it's not that it doesn't resolve, but like, that's another one that I would just like to hear about, because at what point do you make that decision? You're like, you know what? We're just going to keep taking it there and taking it there and taking it there, but it's not going to be frustrating. That feels like a good songwriting trick as well.
Yeah. I mean, that was the one I was not sure of. That was the one track on the record where I thought, It felt like the weirdest song, because it was kind of mellower and just the vibe of it. But it was also a song that I noticed people were gravitating towards. You know, it, like, within the band or playing songs for other people, they would go, I really like this one. And that's always nice to hear. It's like, oh, the one that I think might be too weird is the one that you like the most. So I thought, okay, that's good. I will take that. I will take that feedback. I mean, it was, that song was built around, there's, like, it starts with a kind of weird sounding loop. I don't even know where it came from at this point. It's a common thing I've been doing recently, is, like, not looping other people's songs, just looping, like, weird sections of music that I've made or we've made, and just taking that and, like, writing a song around it. Because it just feels like a fun exercise. I mean, you don't know. Sometimes it turns into a song that you put on a record, and sometimes it doesn't. I felt really good about that. That one felt like a model. That's one of those songs that felt like a model for songs going forward. Like, I thought, I should do more of these.
I do. I love the mood of that one. And it perfectly placed too, you know, where it in that sequence that we were talking about earlier. this way it kind of lands there. And you know, and again, I could throw a dart at this. And I love that the sax is sort of the hero of this record, as far as you know, the outlier instruments. And I think I was reading, maybe it was a press release, he talking about how it was just like, a lot of times it's whatever instrument is lying around that ends up being the one that's used most.
Yeah.
Which is kind of just a fun happenstance for a way to do a record, you know, and for it to work out.
It's always how it's been, though, you know. I mean, it's got to be something new, usually. If it seems like something we used all over the last record, and it's like, no, let's find something else. But yeah, Zach is just a great all around musician, and I knew he was a great, you know, he played a bunch of different saxophones, and I thought, let's put this to use, and I'm still going to. I mean, I think our next record's gonna have a lot of saxophone on it, just because Zach's around, you know, why not?
Well, and to be an instrument that sort of used to be the lead instrument in rock and roll and then just gone, you know, and it pops up every now and then. It's always noticeable. And every time it pops up, I think, oh man, I would love to hear more of that.
Well, it has a bad rap. I know some people really hate saxophone because it has been used in a very cheesy way.
We've all seen Lost Boys. Sure.
Yeah. Like, not to go too deep into that, but it's also been used in such a cool way throughout rock history, you know, like starting with the Sonics or going to Roxy Music, X-Ray Specs, Romeo Void, Baker Street, you know, it's, you know, and yeah, a lot of people have used it in recent years in a cool way. Yeah. I mean, any instrument can be used in a cool way. If you try and find a place for it. That's something I've been kind of fascinated by recently is like using instruments in a way that they're not usually used. Like, there's a few songs in this record where I use the a mandolin just as like a rhythm guitar. Like, I don't play any like bluegrass or any like fancy mandolin stuff, just going like jing 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 jing, just using it, just like chugging on a mandolin like the Ramones might chug on a guitar, just using it like almost like a tambourine or like you're hitting a hi-hat. And I thought it felt like a fun thing to do because not many people do this. You know, nobody uses the mandolin in such a boneheaded, simple way. And I thought, I'm gonna use it. And I'm gonna use the mandolin in a really artless way. And so I thought, another instrument I'd like to reclaim is banjo, but I don't own a banjo. I think I might have to buy one because I think there are ways to use the banjo that aren't, you know, banjo-y.
Right.
To put it politely, banjo-like. Yeah.
Yeah. Caroline Polachek, her new record, she's, you know, she's got the bagpipes on it. And, and that's been one of those, like, when people have pulled that off, you know, like the church, when they did it, that's one of the greatest, that's one of the greatest songs of all time. Anyway, when AC/DC did it, it was a little bit more obvious, but it still worked. You know, that's one of those, I'm like, when somebody can pull the bagpipes off, oh, you've done it.
Have you ever heard Rufus Harley?
No.
You should look up Rufus Harley.
Okay.
Like it's spelled like it sounds. He's put out some crazy bagpipe records. Like, I think he does a cover of 8 Miles High with bagpipes.
With bagpipes.
I don't think I'm making that up. I'm pretty sure it's a real thing. Bagpipes is a hard instrument to rescue.
Well, if it's ever around, I would, you know, love to see that happen for the
because if you're going to use bagpipes, you got to get used to the fact that your song is going to have like a like running through the whole thing. You know, does that work? Does that loud abrasive drone work in your music? Then you're a bagpipes person.
Yeah, it's like you when you talk about the drone, like, why hasn't John Cale done that? Because he could use that to his advantage. Like, I've already got the drone part down. It's just layering on something like that.
It's true. I'm sure lots of people have done it, but sometimes the drone seems to be in a different key. Yeah, it's a confusing instrument. I'm not going down that road. Nobody has to worry. I'm not adding bagpipes. Not a chance in hell.
We'll see.
God love them. God love them, but no, I'm not adding bagpipes.
Dreams crushed just right here.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm a dream crusher.
That's not true. Seriously, this record, I love it so much, and it's always great to hear from you all and the whole collective, and occasionally seeing you out on the road. Got the whole gang going out with you this time?
Yeah, I mean, well, Dan is not out with us because he's not really in the band anymore. But yeah, everybody's coming out with us. And my friend Adam Schatz is Zach, who played sax on the record, couldn't do it because he's making a record with Amos Lee. But my friend Adam Schatz is coming out with us, who's an amazing musician. His main gig is a Japanese breakfast. He got to play SNL. So he's scratched that bucket list off that I will probably never get to scratch off. So yeah, Adam's coming out with us, and so he's the new kid in the group for this tour. It's gonna be cool. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see you out there, and congratulations on this brand new album. Continue as a guest.
Thank you very much.
And my thanks to AC Newman. The New Pornographer is the latest album. It is called Continue as a Guest. Thanks to you for checking out the episode and the series. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get 3 new interviews sent your way every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to stay up to date on your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
All right, take it easy.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.